opening arguments start in 2 hours. I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News. For House Democrat impeachment managers trying to convince senators former President Trump incited last month's deadly Capitol attack.
The hill that the managers have to climb is still very steep and it's very high.
Because they need to convince 17 Republicans to vote to convict, like Senator Kevin Cramer, who tells Fox...
The line between, criminal liability and, firing up a crowd is, it's a pretty tough, I think, cause and effect to make for an insurrection.
But even the Trump legal team praised the House Democrats' presentation yesterday, which sources tell Fox made the former president furious. The managers will get 16 hours to make their case, then Trump lawyers get 16. It's now 3 days in a row the number of new coronavirus cases reported in the U.S. is below 100,000, a trend not seen since October. There's a lot of focus on preventing COVID with vaccines, but there's also a new treatment for those infected. Fox's Tanya J. Powers tells us about it live.
Dave, the therapy made by Eli Lilly has been granted emergency use authorization by the FDA. Now, it's a combination of two antibodies, and it helps cut the risk of hospitalization and death in those with mild to moderate COVID-19 by 70%. That's according to late-stage trial data in January. Eli Lilly says it's got 100,000 doses available immediately. 150,000 more doses will be available in the first quarter. Now, the therapy can be given to those 12 years old and up who are at high risk for progressing to severe COVID-19 and at risk of hospitalization. Dave.
Tanya, we might get CDC guidance today on safely reopening schools that are still closed. President Biden wants a majority of them back open.
So the definition of reopening, according to the White House, is at least one day a week, but hopefully more. That is still going to place a very big burden on parents who are struggling to work or return to work while overseeing their children's education.
That's Fox's Kristen Fisher at the White House. America's listening to Fox News.
So much is happening, but who can you trust? You need to check out Newsmax TV, the fastest-growing news channel in America. Watch it on all major cable systems and see shows with Sean Spicer, Greg Kelly, Lindsey Keith, Stinchfield, and Rob Schmidt. They're giving you the real story on Biden and Pelosi. So download the free Newsmax app on your smartphone now or watch Newsmax on Roku, YouTube, Pluto, Zumo, and more. 30 million Americans watch Newsmax TV. So should you.
Beachcombing, baking cookies, learning French. Aren't these what you'd rather be doing than thinking about your Medicare prescriptions? Well, Walgreens is here to help you get back to it with convenient refill and pickup options, expert pharmacists to answer all your questions, and Medicare copays as low as $0. Zero. Which is also the number of cares in the world you'll have as you stroll the beach eating cookies and speaking French. Oh la la. Walgreens.
$0 copays apply to tier 1 generic drugs and select plans for Walgreens.
Morning News is brought to you by Sprague Sports on 32nd Street, Yuma's hunting and shooting headquarters and responsible gun ownership since 1956.
Sprague Sports is Yuma's hunting and shooting headquarters. Why? Because Sprague Sports is the difference. Where else can you buy, sell, trade, or consign firearms with free expert appraisals always? There is nothing like Sprague Sports. With 64 years of industry connections to have products in stock when others can't. And all Sprague's firearms come with a lifetime warranty. And talk about customer service. There's a gunsmith always on duty. Sprague's is your Remington warranty center. And when you need it, there's expert one-day sight-in service. But that's not all. Sprague Sports has got training courses, including Arizona CCW, First Shot, Hunter Education, and more. Sprague's handles Glock, Blue Label pistols, and is your NFA dealer in suppressors and full autos. That's why we call them the experts. And Sprague's is Yuma's Yeti headquarters, the best Yeti selection and free ice for life. Sprague's has a 10-lane, rifle-certified indoor shooting range and gun rentals you can try before you buy. Serving Yuma's shooting and outdoor needs since 1956. That's the Sprague's difference. Sprague's, 32nd Street, next to Lowe's.
Weather is brought to you by Ed Whitehead's Tire Pros, serving Arizona for over 20 years.
Another weak area of low pressure may head our way by the end of the week with just a slight chance of a shower. But we're dry today and tomorrow. 77 the high today, 80 the high tomorrow. These may be uncertain times, but what is certain is that every family needs a reliable thermometer. Protect your family with the Exergen Temporal Scanner, the only home thermometer used and recommended by hospitals, physicians, and clinics. Stay safe with Exergen. I'm meteorologist Terry Smith from the Weather Channel.
The following program on 560 KBLU is a paid program. All opinions expressed by the program participants are solely their current opinions and do not reflect the opinions of 560 KBLU, El Dorado Broadcasters, LLC, their respective parent companies or affiliates, or the companies with which the program participants are affiliated and may have been previously disseminated by them. The program participants' opinions are based upon information they consider reliable, but neither 560 KBLU, El Dorado Broadcasters, nor its affiliates, nor the companies with which such participants are affiliated, warrant its completeness or accuracy, and it should not be relied upon as such.
Good morning. You are listening to Chamber Chatter on 560 KBLU. I am Kimberly Kale, the Executive Director of the Yuma County Chamber of Commerce, bringing you only the good stuff from the Chamber this morning. Chamber Chatter, as always, is being brought to you by the Yuma Crossing National Heritage Area. And this morning, we are fortunate to have some very, very busy people with us this morning. Of course, we have Russ.
Good morning.
You know, my partner in crime here in the studio. And then we have some representatives from the Yuma Regional Medical Center. We have Michelle Headington. Good morning, Michelle.
Good morning.
Good morning. And I understand we also have Dr. Diaz from the hospital. Good morning.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning. So we're doing this a little bit differently this morning. They're actually over the phone, so trying to keep everybody safe, and I know that you guys are extremely busy, but I am so grateful to you guys for coming on to the studio this morning or on the radio this morning.
And, absolutely.
Because I have discovered that, you know, in watching, like, I was talking to Russ when I first got in this morning. I'm on the Nextdoor app and hear from my neighbors, and, of course, being part of the chamber, I hear from the community a lot, and as amazing as I can tell, the county health department and you guys have been about getting information out there through press releases and Facebook and all the different places that I see it. And, of course, I have those weekly meetings on Friday afternoon, you know, with all the elected officials. You know, the word is still not getting out. So I'm really grateful that you were on this morning so that hopefully we can help spread the word about what's going on in our community, how we're keeping everybody safe, and, of course, everybody's has those vaccines on their mind right now. So, Michelle, can you tell us, I mean, how are things going? How is everybody at the hospital? We kind of forget about the human element. How are you guys doing?
Well, and I think Dr. Diaz, because she really spends the time on the clinical needs, what her answer as well. But, I mean, like everybody in the community and around the world, we're tired of this. And we're really wishing that it would go away. And, we hope to, with the vaccine, that we see some glimmer of light. But it is a daunting task. But I think this sincere commitment to our community and to the patients and people of Yuma, you just keep swimming, right? You just keep going and doing everything you can to help. And I think what I think you probably have all experienced this at home as well, but somehow in the light of day, somebody's bad day, there's somebody around you that's having a better day to help you through your difficult moments. And I think we all have them. We all have days that are just really hard for us. And so somehow there is a caregiver next to you and somebody at the hospital who can carry you through. And I know for our clinical staff, that's been really important. And I think the support we've had from the community, the little things that they've been doing. I know a few weeks ago I delivered some cards, handmade cards from a little preschool in Yuma that were absolutely just touching, heartwarming little messages about, you know, to keep going. And those really become the fuel for continued dedication to what's been far more than 2 weeks that I think we originally had hoped for and thought going a year into this. But Dr. Diaz, I would love to be able to kind of talk a little bit about her perspective as a clinician.
Yeah, thank you. Good morning. I'm just going to echo everything that Michelle had said about how we're all feeling. I think there's kind of an ebb and flow of this where we get inundated with extra cases or there's extra load, and then it will let up a little bit, and we have to rely on each other to really pick each other up because we know there's going to be more coming. That's really been the way it's gone for the last year, you know, just making sure that we're taking care of ourselves because we know we need to take care of Yuma. I know in the primary care setting, I'm definitely ready to start seeing my regular patients back. There's been a lot that have been missing this year, so I'm ready to see more of my patients back in the primary care setting. But even in the hospital, it would be nice to see our just regular patients back. You know, elective surgeries, just elective activities in general. So overall, though, I really do think that the community and the gratitude they've shown everyone at the hospital sure makes it all feel worth it.
Well, that's great to hear. I know it's kind of funny. My husband actually just needed to get a prescription refill from his primary care physician not that long ago, and it was odd that he was making an appointment for such a mundane routine thing. Everybody hears about COVID and not all those routine things anymore. So basically, how is the hospital doing right now as far as numbers? I mean, are you seeing numbers go down? Are we seeing hospitalizations go down? What are you seeing right now as far as trends?
Well, we definitely are happy to see our numbers down. We currently today, as of this morning at 8 o'clock, have 65 COVID patients hospitalized. Out of 282 hospitalized patients overall, it's nice to see that only the small percentage of those 65 patients are actually COVID patients. Our ICU has 40 patients today, and only 26 of those are COVID patients. So, again, we continue to watch that number. You know, want to stay steady. We'd love to see that number a little bit lower. So we'll keep continuing to support and care for these 26 COVID patients and the families who are impacted by those, and hope to see better days in the coming. We've had, you know, a large number of deaths in Yuma to this, and it's truly heart-wrenching. I know for the caregivers, where these patients are in the hospital many times for a significant amount of time, and without their families sometimes, or less visitation from the families. And so I think that that's also been very, very trying and hard for the healthcare team overall. Loss is difficult, even for as much or more from somebody who, you know, dedicates their career to healing people, and to see that much death in that amount of time is really, really emotionally draining and hard on the heart. So, we hope to get to the other side of this very soon.
Well, and with the restrictions on visitation, it's not that, you know, the amazing nurses and doctors aren't there emotionally anyway, but I would imagine that they are being leaned on even more for that emotional aspect because they're not as surrounded by loved ones anymore.
Right. I know I've had some conversations with physicians who, you know, in their career have had, obviously you get connected to patients and families, but I think it does take it to a new level. And even moments like praying with the family over the phone when you're there with their loved one is probably a lifetime memory that they will carry with them as a caregiver forever. So it's very, very difficult, I think, to be in that situation, but we appreciate all of those who continue to do that. And to the families who've been, who've just really been very gracious and supportive in what is just not our ideal environment. It's not how we want to take care of. And I think we like to have the family members involved in the care, and that's just been a new thing to learn about how do we do that and keep people involved without really having the ability to be there all the time.
Michelle, this is Russ, and I have a question about standard of care. And, you know, there's always a standard of care, but specifically to, you know, what is going on with the patient. There's a recognized standard of care, and every hospital may be a little different. When you get a novel virus like this, and there's some things we don't know about it quite a bit, is there a set standard of care? Has it changed or molded as we found out more about the virus?
You want me to take that? Sure. I would say that initially we were all definitely going with the changes every single day. When information came out, we were following as much as we knew. So there really wasn't a standard of care. I felt like we were almost trying to treat in the dark. But then over time, studies have started to come out. There is some evidence that we know that works. So all of us, with the great leadership that we have, you know, within our medical team, especially in the hospitals, really trying to make sure that we're following those guidelines. As you know, even as much as starting monoclonal antibodies here for our patients that can be treatment outpatient, without staying on top of those good quality care measures and the recent updates from the FDA and the CDC, we wouldn't be able to give those treatments to our patients.
So, I've got a lot more questions. I know she has to take a break.
I know. Unfortunately, we'll get right back on that after this break. You're listening to Chamber Chatter on 560 KBLU.
It's a celebration. The Oak Tree and More want to thank you for voting them the 2019 Arizona Furniture Retailer of the Year. And they're celebrating by having a huge customer appreciation sale happening now. 50% off everything store-wide. So many great things to choose from. Don't miss out on 50% off store-wide.
The Oak Tree and More, your quality furniture store.
Being in the Army National Guard is about more than serving your country. It's about being there for your community when your neighbors need you most. The Army National Guard makes college affordable, and serving part-time can help you graduate debt-free. Do you want to stay close to friends and family? The Guard allows you to serve close to home. Serving part-time in the Army National Guard lets you have the life you want. Learn more by visiting NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Arizona Army National Guard. Aired by the Arizona Broadcasters Association and this station.
Shop local, eat local, spend local, enjoy local. Studies show nearly 70 cents of every dollar spent locally stay local, supporting local programs. Plus, the tax revenue repairs our roads and pays for our schools and emergency services. Now it can do even more. With the Yuma County Chamber of Commerce Enjoy Local campaign, you can win $100 for supporting local businesses. Just upload your receipt from any participating business to localyuma.com. So start shopping, start enjoying, and start winning today. Upload your receipts now to localyuma.com.
At 1 Hour Air Conditioning and Heating, we offer essential services to help keep your home comfortable. We all know comfort is key in these challenging times. If your air system is giving you trouble, contact our team of professionally trained technicians. We are here for you 24/7 with same-day appointments available at 844-1-HOUR or visit us online at 1hourair.com.
Your comfort is just a call away.
And we are back on 560 KBLU. This is Chamber Chatter, and I'm Kimberly Kale, Executive Director of the Yuma County Chamber of Commerce, and we've got Russ Clark in the studio with us. Good morning. And we have Michelle Huddington from YRMC. Good morning, Michelle.
Oh, yeah, she's there. I just had her turned down.
Oh, dear. Michelle, good morning.
Russ, did you turn me down?
My apologies.
We're just going to make up the rest of the show as we go, that's all. And Dr. Diaz, good morning.
Good morning.
You know, I would like to expand a little bit on the standard of care, and there's been, some of it's political. We're not going to get into the politics of things. I'm more interested in what docs want to do versus politicians, but... there's been a lot of studies out there that have come in with the ivermectin, which is an old 1970s drug used for head lice that actually has great results, and hydroxychloroquine, which we know in this state we can't really use very, very effectively because of Governor Ducey. But are we doing any of those, or do patients request those things when they come in?
Some patients, I have to be honest, there's two types of patients, right? You have patients that are currently being admitted to the hospital because they can't breathe and their oxygen levels are low.
Ouch.
And I think those patients are not necessarily asking for anything specific other than please help me.
Right.
And that's where the physician steps in and is really trained to use things that are as much evidence-based as we can. And things that we've all agreed on are what we will be trying, or protocols within the hospital. And then in an outpatient setting, that's typically where we will see people starting to ask for more specific treatments. Like, for example, in my clinic, I'll have a patient email me through MyCare, send me a message and say, I'm positive for COVID. Should I take these medicines that you just stated, or should I be doing something else? And so I really have to tell you that it's really a case-by-case, I would say, between the physician and the patient. But in the hospital, we've really tried to stay tried and true with what the FDA is recommending and what the CDC is recommending.
And they've been changing a little bit. In fact, the CDC said hydroxychloroquine can cause heart problems, which was kind of weird because they weren't telling lupus patients. They were just telling COVID patients. And then right before the election, they said, oh, never mind, it doesn't cause heart problems. It's okay to use now. Which?
Well, that's true for a lot of medicines, right? As the more people use it, the more side effects pop up. You know, there was even a diabetes medicine that we used for years, even when I was in training, that now is off the market because it causes heart disease. So I think just the more that we use drugs, the more we understand.
Well, actually, the CDC said they were wrong. It didn't cause heart disease. They retracted their issues. And they said it's safe now.
The more people that use it, the more studies, the more data you get, and you can actually create some evidence behind the use of different medications and treatments.
You know, looking at, you know, and because I'm a numbers guy, I like looking at different parts of the country on success of treating the COVID, and you get vast differences of success with treating.
Sure.
Is that something you guys can even look at and say, well, wow, this hospital has no deaths, this hospital has 50% deaths? I mean, do we look at those, or is there time to gather all that information? Because it's so many differences everywhere.
I would say that I know for sure, for example, that Dr. Magoo speaks with the CMOs in the state of Arizona, right? I know that Dr. Trenchell is talking to other leaders in our state. So the collaboration and understanding of what we're doing locally is for sure there, or at least region in our state. It's really, I think, time-consuming with how much pressure and how much work that people are doing on top of their normal duties. But then the opportunity to just kind of sit and think and ponder about what's happening, we really have to leave to more of the national level, because we're all just in the trenches, nitty-gritty, haven't really come up for air. You know, so, for example, I worked 40 of the last 45 days. You know, there's not a lot of time to just say, hey, let's stop and ponder when you've got to use the 5 days off you've had to take a nap.
Not to worry, Dr. Diaz. I'll do all that Monday morning quarterbacking for you.
I'm sure you will. But speaking of which, I know that there were nurses brought in from the National Guard. Can you talk a little bit about, because I know that ordinarily, due to winter visitors, the hospital has to ramp up their staff anyway. How has that changed this particular winter?
Well, it definitely has with the volumes of those. And remember, these patients, our COVID patients, are quite ill. And so the number of patients that we have in that require a higher level of acuity care is significant. And so I will tell you, the arrival of the Army nurses and their whole team has been a really great addition to our hospital. They've very quickly integrated. They truly are here to help. They've become part of our team. We just received notice last week or the beginning, sometime last week, that they will be extending for 2 more weeks. So they'll be here until the 24th of February before they head out. It's also been able to give our staff a reprieve. You know, as Dr. Diaz spoke to, when you're just going and going and going, and it's, you know, holidays have not been any. I think everybody's worked straight through all of the holidays that others might have been off. These folks haven't. So no Christmas, no New Year's, no Thanksgiving, none of those holidays, no summer vacations, no nothing. So they're just finding a day off when you still have families, they still have, you know, people to take care of at home. And so I think giving them just a reprieve of having some time off or having an extra set of hands at the bedside. And the Army has sent in very clinically trained, skilled professionals. So we have ICU and med-surg nurses here, about 20 of each. That's a pretty significant help to an area where we were really struggling. So I can tell you, we have nothing but great things to say. They have set up a very impressive command center in one of our conference rooms. Just walking in the room is impressive. They're very organized. They're very committed. And they actually even have a public information officer here with them also that works with my team. And they've just been a delight to work with, a highly respectful and highly skilled individual. So proud of our nation and our country for coming together to support our local community, and grateful. I would just say grateful.
I understand you have Department of Defense people there too, right?
Well, we've had people coming in from the surge line. I think that might be what you're talking about, right?
Well, the Army, Navy, I don't know.
Yeah, the Army's here. Yeah, that's the 40.
The Army's there, yep. They're Army Reserves, correct?
Yes, that's the same group, yes.
Yep.
And they're from all over the country.
Are they technicians, nurses, or are they just
nurses?
Okay. You need a lot of that.
20 ICU nurses and 20 med-surg nurses, and then they have, I think, 6 or 8 leadership here who really are here to take care of them. and to make sure that they have what supplies they're monitoring throughout the time that they're here, you know, processes, making sure that the supplies are ready. So yes, they've been just a great addition. They join our regular COVID meetings. We meet every day for COVID. Every morning we start our day with our COVID meeting, and they attend that meeting also and report out how things are going on there.
Yeah. You know, and you're filled with a whole bunch of essential workers. You know, you're one of those in the country that says, you know, you're essential. You have to go to work. How do you cope with that? Because you guys are most likely going to run into someone every day that has COVID.
I think initially I will tell you that a lot of us were a little anxious, I would say overly anxious, and just as nervous as Yuma community was for COVID. And then we've just kind of all band together and supported each other and realized that we have the skill set in order to help Yuma County. So that's really been the pride of our service right now, is just remembering and reminding ourselves of what we're doing. But we, just like everyone else, went through our phase of fear and worry and concern that we were going to all get sick.
Yeah.
So the great thing, though, I have to tell you, is the hospital made sure that we had the right PPE. You know, I got sent into the COVID unit pretty early, and I remember being very scared as we were, you know, I watched, you know, them roll out a patient that had passed as I'm walking in. So that was my first experience in the COVID unit, but it was nice to know that it had been well thought out, well planned. I had the PPE I needed, and I had at least the knowledge of where we were with COVID at that time, which that information has been well disseminated against all providers. So again, it just felt really comfortable. And then again, when you start getting more exposed to it and seeing how it's progressing, it becomes easier each time.
Now, there's been a lot of, people in the hospital are just people, and they're going to be people that contract the disease like there is in every business. I've had COVID, as well as many of my people I work with have had it. But how has that affected the hospital? I mean, I'm sure that that's also scary that, you know, you guys are like the most prone to having somebody in your presence that have it, but you're real people that are getting it also.
Right, and we definitely went through that as well. Michelle and her team, as well as other leaders in the hospital, are frequently reminding us, you know, yes, you need to eat lunch, but remember you need to have a mask on when you're not actively eating. Make sure you're practicing social distancing. So we've also really had to change the way that we interact, the way we hold meetings, the way that we get our staff together. But when we are sick, it does seem to spread. And we did go through an episode of having a lot of staff get ill. So it is going to happen, but again, we just need to take care of each other, and the hospital did a good job with that.
When a patient calls you, Dr. Diaz, and says, "Look, I'm healthy. I don't have COVID. I'm sure I don't. What should I be doing, other than wearing a mask? What should I be doing to make sure that I stay healthy?"
I encourage people a few things. Is we need to make sure that you're being physically healthy. Meaning, now is not the time to start eating terribly and not exercising.
Now you tell me.
I would say with the pandemic, when we'd all been sitting on our couches and not going to the gym and eating potato chips.
Right, exactly. And we need to make sure that we are being still in charge of our bodies and recognizing that it's our vessel, right, of navigating our life here. And so we really need to make sure that we are taking care of ourselves. There is a lot of studies about who is contracting COVID and who's becoming more ill. And if we can maintain physical activity, if we can remain healthy and take care of ourselves, that's important. The other thing is, of course, practicing social distancing, making sure that you are wearing your mask, not having large gatherings, and sharing. I've taken care of entirely too many families in the hospital where it's grandma, and then her daughter, then the husband, and then their two children. And that is just such a sad state to see, where a visitor came over and spread it to a family, and now grandma's in the ICU. So we just need to make sure we're being smart about who we're spending time with and how we're spending time with. And I've always said this, and when we do Yuma On Call, I really, in those Facebook Live episodes, is my big thing is act like a tourist here in Yuma outside. The weather's nice. Find something to do socially distanced instead of just having people over for a party.
Perfect. And with that, it's time to take another break. You're listening to Chamber Chatter on 560 KBLU.
Tires. They might all have the same shape, but the size, well, that's a different matter. Whether you're working with a trailer, car, truck, semi, farm equipment, or heavy construction vehicle, find the perfect fit at Purcell Tire in Yuma. Purcell is your top choice for tire rotation, brakes, shocks, struts, and oil changes with exceptional staff and exceptional service. Visit Purcell Tire at two Yuma locations, 4th Avenue downtown, or our Truck Tire Center on Gila Ridge Road. Online at PurcellTire.com. Purcell Tire, keeping you on the road since 1936.
Purcell Tire Service Center.
Grown-ups devise a plan and follow it. Children do what feels good. Take responsibility for your family's future and get your estate in order. Call my friends Sean Garner and Adam Hansen, attorneys at the law firm of Deason, Garner, and Hansen. Sean and Adam believe in giving free education to help people make smart decisions about their assets and leave a legacy for their family that they can be proud of. Schedule a consultation today. Visit YumaEstatePlanning.com.
This is the time of year to enjoy some opportunities at Hyundai of Yuma. They have a limited supply of brand new 2020 models in stock with some aggressive discounts. The discounts are exclusive to listeners of the Russ Clark Show. Only until February 15th or while supplies last. Hyundai of Yuma has 8 2020 Sonatas and will discount them $6,000 if you are a listener. They also have new 2020 Santa Fe SUVs in stock, and the discount is an amazing $7,000. All you have to do is go to Hyundai of Yuma, let them know you listen to Russ Clark. You don't even have to agree with them. So treat your Valentine to the best deal of the year. Get to that veteran-owned business, Hyundai of Yuma on 32nd Street. These offers are while supplies last, plus tax, title, license, in lieu of any special financing, includes our rebates in stock only. I am Russ Clark, and I approve of this message.
And we are back on Chamber Chatter on 560 KBLU. And before we get back to YRMC and all the great information we're getting there, I do have a couple of announcements to make about the Chamber. First of all, our Enjoy Local campaign is live. And so if you go to localyuma.com, you can actually see a list of the participating businesses. And what does that mean to you? Well, basically what that means to you is that if you shop or spend money at one of the participating businesses and upload your receipt to localyuma.com, you have a chance to win a $100 gift card. Basically, we're doing this every month. So throughout the month of February, you are able to upload your receipts. And then at the beginning of the March, we'll take all the receipts that were received through midnight, February 28th. And we will pull one, and somebody will win $100. And then in March, we'll do it again, pulling in April. Same thing. We're going all the way through till next year. And then we do have a couple other events going on. At the end of the month, we're going to have our mixer. It's basically we're going to do a mixology class. So everybody, we're going to learn to make a few drinks together. And then we don't have a date set yet, but we have been speaking with a panel of attorneys that are going to do a class with us on basically, if you're an employer, what do you need to do? What are your rights? What are the employees' rights as far as how they surround COVID? I mean, can you, do you have to pay employees if they're out sick? Do you have to, can you require them to get vaccines? Things like that. So look for that on yumachamber.org. I actually remembered our website this morning, so we're doing good. So visit those two websites, yumachamber.org, to pay attention to what events we have coming up. And please go to localyuma.com and check out what businesses we have participating and upload your receipts so that you have a chance to win that $100. Especially, we got a little bit of a late start in February, so there probably won't be as many receipts, so your odds are going to be even greater. So let's get back to all the great information that we're getting this morning from YRMC. And so we have Russ. I'm going to catch him off guard trying to take a drink. Good morning, Russ. and then Michelle Huddington with YRMC. Good morning, Michelle.
Good morning.
And Dr. Diaz was also with YRMC. Good morning.
Good morning.
And so, okay, so I know we've been talking about all the great things going on at the hospital, but, you know, I in my neighborhood and on Facebook and phone calls and things like that, people want to know about the vaccines. I mean, you know, there's a lot of frustration out there as far as not being able to get through to get a vaccine. And I know that you guys are putting a lot of things in place to assist with that. So what can you tell us about what's going on right now with how the hospital is making appointments and distributing the vaccine?
Well, thank you. So this week we rolled out a new, two new ways, actually. So the first one has been around since we started, and that was through their MyCare account for those people who are active users of the MyCare, the electronic health record system. And the other one this week we started was pre-registration, so which really is a phone number that you can call. We're running it 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You can get pre-registered. Right now we're only pre-registering those folks who meet the criteria for the priority 1B, which essentially are the 65 plus age category, who are the most at risk. And then we also have teachers and first responders, essentially, so the law enforcement agencies as well. So we've been doing those. We are actually doing clinic today. They started this morning at 8 o'clock. They'll be doing 1,000 vaccines today. It is by appointment only. The pre-registration has actually worked well. We're in the process now of calling folks back, and so I would encourage you, if you're on a pre-registration list with us and we've got all your pre-registration information, we'll essentially call you when your vaccine arrives and then have you come in. And most folks will be getting their vaccine within 14 days and probably sooner of the date we actually get those. So, for example, as of Monday, we had 5,000 people on the pre-registration list, and this week we're getting 3,800 vaccines. And so we will likely be through all those 5,000 this week and next week. So that part's going quickly. I think most people will tell you if you've gone through the vaccine, which is at the Civic Center, by the way, not here at the hospital. We're doing it at the Civic Center. The City of Yuma and the mayor have been great at helping us and supporting this effort to make sure that we can use the facility and all the things that we need within the facility. I think if you watch the news, there's some things that we felt like were really important, and the reason we chose not to do the drive-through is particularly this first age group is a little more high risk. We wanted to make sure that they had the proper facilities to be able to sit. We're only bringing them in at the volume that we can actually get them through, so they're not standing in line and waiting. We have our residents who the patients are loving. At the end of when you get your vaccine, our residents are there. Our medical residents are talking with them, checking them out to see how they're doing, answering a lot of questions while they're sitting and waiting their 15 minutes after the vaccine. So I know my own in-laws went last week, I think it was, and that was their favorite part. They love the residents. They were bragging all about our residents that were there and all the people that they met who were there to take care of them. So pre-registration by calling 833-372-5640. Right now we're only taking pre-registrations for those that make the priority 1B.
Now, Michelle, can they still get an appointment through, like, MyCare, or do you advise everyone to call that number to get pre-registered?
No, they definitely can, and we've had, I will say that over 60% of our patients who've come through the clinic have preferred the MyCare registration. It's quite easy if you already have a MyCare account to do. The thing I think you should be aware of is that we post those each week. Once the vaccines arrive on our dock, we open up the MyCare appointments and allow people to self-register for their appointment. They will actually get their appointment time on MyCare from that specific experience. If you do not have a MyCare account, I would encourage you, even if you're not in this age category yet, go ahead and get your MyCare account set up so that when we start expanding vaccines to more of the population, you will be able to self-schedule on MyCare. And then you can do that, again, anytime, day or night. But we only post MyCare when the vaccines are here. So those appointments close when we don't have any vaccines. We reopen them when the vaccines arrive on the dock here. And the reason for doing that is we don't want to schedule for an appointment and then our vaccines not arrive.
Right.
And then we have to try to reach all of those people, thousands of people, to tell them that they have to change their time.
So, Michelle, I have a question for, you know, this is a personal question, but, you know, I'm a newbie, still relatively here. And so I've never been a patient at YRMC. Am I able to get a MyCare account?
You actually are. We will have to create an account for you.
And so once you log on, it will tell you that. It will send a request to us, and then someone from our team will give you an access code and assign you an account number.
Perfect. Although I'm not over 65, so I don't. Am I able to make an appointment on there? I mean, I realize not yet. I'm not in the category. But I thought that my staff, when they were trying to looking at appointments, they you had to be over 65 to do it through MyCare.
Yes, you can still get your MyCare account set up so that when we get to your category, you will be able to get your appointment. And I've been encouraging people to do that so that you're ready.
Michelle, do you get any indication on the amount of vaccine that's going to be released in the future per month, or are we still just wait and I'll call you?
Well, they've been trickling. This week, we're really excited. We have 3,800 that were delivered to our docs yesterday. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yesterday. So we will give out 4,000 vaccines this week. We remain hopeful that we will get that number or larger next week and that they will continue to rise. They have been getting larger as we've gone forward. I have to say our elected officials across the state, and Kimberly, you're on that call,
yep,
that they have been strongly advocating for us. You know, we've been an area where we've seen widespread, and so getting the vaccine here is a pretty critical need. So we've been grateful for the advocacy that's been happening on behalf to get more here. We just really need more vaccines. We can do 1,000 vaccines a day with our team, and in that volume, at 1,000 patients a day with a vaccine, there's no waiting. We can actually move people through very quickly. You're just there for a few minutes. I was looking at the numbers yesterday. It's like 8 minutes from the time you come in the door to the time you're finished with your vaccine, sitting and waiting. So we're timing every single one. We know exactly what the process needs to be, but we need vaccines.
Yeah, 1,000 a day, that's only 400 days to get everybody. But obviously you're just one person in the whole cog. I mean, there's a lot of people giving vaccines now.
Yes, and I don't know what volumes they're doing, but so that would be, it's 6,000 a week, right, if we did, and I think we could probably even expand that further, but we like the volume of 1,000 a day because we don't have anybody waiting. We've seen,
right,
you know, across the nation where people are having to stand and wait, there's wait for the restroom, there's all kinds of things, and so we want to make sure that it's a comfortable experience.
You say you're holding them for 15 minutes, just observation, which I think is common. There's some things spreading out there that there's some vaccine adverse event reporting going on, that, you know, there's a few people that have had some issues. Has that been a major concern? Have people been asking about those things?
People are concerned about it. This is Dr. Diaz. Typically we'll get that question, you know, I'm a little nervous about getting the vaccine, or will I have the reaction? And I have to tell you, you know, we're screening to make sure that you haven't had previous reactions to other vaccines. But, you know, the side effect profile has been quite low. Actually, the Moderna one that we're giving here in Yuma has a very low side effect profile. It hasn't been a big concern throughout the clinics that we've held. But it is going to be, it's a treatment, right? It's a medication. The opportunity for reaction is there. We're not expecting a high number of those, but I've really just counseled my patients to come. Especially for the older patients, if you have a spouse or somebody that wants to come with you, and then just get the vaccine and wait your 15 minutes, you should be just fine. Now, that doesn't mean you're not going to go home and have a sore arm later. I think we've all experienced the sore arm and having a little bit of fatigue as our bodies mount the immune response against a new virus, which is totally normal. But the actual anaphylaxis reaction requiring hospitalization or transfer to the hospital because of the vaccine, that is very low.
But it's something to watch for. And so if somebody feels something, you'd want them to call you, right?
Well, that's why we have the medical team there, too, and you watch them in that 15 minutes. So having medical doctors there at our site, I think it's really important as well. But I think there's probably, if you started looking at it, there's way more anxiety than there actually is reactions to it. But both are real for the person who sees it, right?
You
have to appreciate. And I felt like that the care team throughout the time were just as focused on the anxiety and helping people feel comfortable with it as they were. And we're doing a lot more of that than they were with anybody actually truly having a reaction. We saw very little of that.
One thing I'm very proud of is that YRMC has invited our family medicine residents to come and be at the site, right? So you actually have a doctor there.
Oh.
So if there is a question, if there is a concern of a reaction, you have a physician there, and you also have several nurses who are there. So contrary to maybe other locations that are doing vaccines, you have skilled medical professionals there if you are having a reaction.
Perfect.
Or if you just have questions.
And with that, unfortunately, it's time to take another break. You're listening to Chamber Chatter on 560 KV.
If you're feeling anxious, stressed, or lonely in these difficult COVID times, call CalHOPE at 1-833-317-HOPE. That's 1-833-317-4673. Or visit calhope.org to talk to someone who can help. Hope will persevere.
Paul Bensel Jewelers and 560 KBOU wants you to rock her world this Valentine's Day with a $1,000 gift certificate to Paul Bensel Jewelers. All you have to do is go to kbouam.com and register to win. While you're there, make sure to sign up for the sales promotion notifications, too.
Shop local, eat local, spend local, enjoy local. Studies show nearly 70 cents of every dollar spent locally. Stay local, supporting local programs. Plus, the tax revenue repairs our roads and pays for our schools and emergency services. Now it can do even more. With the Yuma County Chamber of Commerce Enjoy Local campaign, you can win $100 for supporting local businesses. Just upload your receipt from any participating business to localyuma.com. So start shopping, start enjoying, and start winning today. Upload your receipts now to localyuma.com.
Want a great deal on a new Ford? You can count on Bill Alexander Ford in Yuma, where we'll beat any Ford dealer's lowest price or give you $1,000. At Bill Alexander Ford, our knowledgeable, friendly sales staff will help you find a vehicle that's perfect for your lifestyle and deliver a relaxed shopping experience, free from the high-pressure sales tactics you may find elsewhere. Visit us today at 801 East 32nd Street in Yuma or online at BillAlexanderFord.com. Bill Alexander Ford, difference you can count on.
El Dorado Broadcasters is searching for creative problem solvers to join our team of marketing professionals where we help businesses be more successful. I'm Chris Fleming, General Manager. Here's what it's like when you make a career working with El Dorado Broadcasters.
I'm Mark Mitchell. I've worked for over 10 years. Favorite part of my job is the creative freedom that we have. Creative message is what makes a difference and sets us apart from other radio groups in town.
Apply online at ebbroadcasters.com/careers. No employees were harmed in making this advertisement.
You have a website for your business?
I just use Facebook. I don't have time to make a website. Keep it up. All that work.
I wouldn't even know where to start. I used to think that, but I found freewebguys.com and they built my website for free. They host it, maintain it, and even market it for me. Now I'm getting new leads from it every month.
That sounds too good to be true. What's the catch?
No catch. You get a free website from freewebguys.com. All you pay is hosting, marketing on Google, and you get guaranteed leads every month.
Where do I get this again?
Get a free website built for your business at freewebguys.com.
They get up every morning from the long clock, morning, taking 8:15 into the city.
And we are back on Chamber Chatter on 560 KBLU. This is Kimberly Kale, Executive Director of the Yuma County Chamber of Commerce, and we are here with Russ Clark in the studio. Good morning, Russ. He's giving me a thumbs up.
Good morning.
And we are also here with a couple of representatives from Yuma Regional Medical Center, YRMC. Good morning, Michelle Headington. Good morning, Michelle.
Good morning.
And Dr. Diaz. Good morning, Dr. Diaz.
Good morning.
And they're not just a couple. I mean, these are the best they've got. This is it right here. This is the cream of the crop. I just want to make sure we get that out there.
I'll pay you later, Russ.
So the other big question that I'm hearing, you know, from the public when they're reaching out to me or I'm seeing on Nextdoor or that kind of stuff is the second shot. People are really, really concerned about if I get the first shot, am I going to be able to get the second shot? Are they going to have enough of the vaccine for my second shot? How do I get that appointment? There seems to be a lot of anxiety about that second shot. So how is YRMC handling those second doses?
Yeah, you're right. And I think so early when you open the program, Kim, you were talking about, you know, people, we put all this information out there and still people are confused. And that's because it changes all the time. And so if you miss a memo or you miss a post, things change so quickly. So you're absolutely right in that. And we recognize and appreciate that people are often confused. So the second shot right now is our most common question. I think that change came because there was a recommendation made that we get the first dose into as many people as we can and get as many people protected with that first dose before we started, you know, saving doses for the second dose. And so our team, as I told you yesterday, we meet daily, and our vaccine team also meets on a regular basis, and we made a decision yesterday that we'll start pushing out second doses the first week in March. That's within the 5 days of the time that those initially be due. So this, for Moderna, the second dose is due anytime after the 30 days, and there's an ideal time frame, I think, of like 60 days to have it within there. And so we'll start working now and getting those, and we'll be making some decisions in the next week or so exactly when they'll do, when we'll be able to do that. And again, those folks will have the option to have us call and schedule them for their second dose, or they'll be able to select their appointment for their second dose on their MyCare account. So that is some of the concern as well. If you're in MyCare, and Dr. Diaz, people call and say, Dr. Diaz signed my order, and it says I have an order in here for my Moderna second dose. And yes, as soon as you get your first dose, it writes the order for the second dose, which Dr. Diaz has to sign off on for those folks. However, you cannot sign up for your second dose until they arrive, which right now will be March.
Okay, and so they have a couple of options for that then, as far as like getting their second dose, but it's not like they're not going to be able to get their second dose.
No, I think everybody's going to be able to get them. I think they're not going to be ideally at the exact 30 days, because again, we've really pushed to get as many people the first dose. We remain hopeful again that the volume of dosages continues to rise for the number of vaccines that we get in, and then we'll push those through as well. But no, I think everybody will get their second dose. It's important that they do in all fronts. And I think the County Health Department, too, has second doses that they're working on right now as well, and we'll be working with them to help with that as well.
Well, and then would you advise, okay, so let's say I got my first dose at YRMC. Would you advise that then I make sure that I get my second dose from YRMC, or would it be okay as long as it's still Moderna, because I understand we're not supposed to mix Moderna and Pfizer, to go to, you know, the health department or Border Health, or, I mean, because there's a lot of places where you can get these vaccines.
Right. I think so. It is. I think it's ideal that you get it at the first place. But we all, in fact, we had this discussion yesterday in our meeting. It's important that you keep that little card that they give you for your first dose, because whoever gives your second dose mm-hmm. needs to have that card to know what lot number and which dose you're on and when you received it. Without that card, it'll be really difficult to do. There is a process for getting a new card if you don't have one, but. So please make sure you keep that card in a special place that you will be able to find it, and make sure you don't forget it when you come for your second, or you register for your second dose.
I don't remember who brought it up, but I mean, for those people that don't know, the elected officials meet Friday afternoon, and meet with like you and the health department and all the different health agencies to get updates. And I love in last Friday's meeting, somebody brought up, I don't remember who it was, mentioned maybe take a photo of the card on your phone, because
yes.
odds are
yes.
you're going to have your phone, although I forgot mine this morning, which was interesting, but ordinarily you're going to have your phone, and at least then you would have access to the information from the card.
Yeah, and Dr. Diaz has a bit to add to that, I think is a great spot too.
The recommendation is just that we not post all of our pictures of our cards on Facebook or social media, because it does become a good conduit for people to take our information.
Right.
It has your birthday, it has your name, it also has your lot number and information that really on how to kind of counterfeit a card. So you need to make sure that you kind of keep it to yourself. You don't want to post it everywhere.
It's interesting.
Taking pictures, great.
Yeah, I read that this morning on, apparently there's been a rash of it. People are so happy they get it. They say, I got it, here's my card for proof.
I see it all over. I've probably seen on Facebook half a dozen people that have posted their cards. On Facebook.
Michelle, I've never had mine because I'm very young.
I was listening to your show this morning, so I know they won't be doing it anymore.
Okay, good.
I'm way too young to get mine, Michelle. When will I be eligible because I'm a baby?
You are a baby. That's interesting. We've been talking about it, too, how quickly we'll be through the 65 over and be able to spread out. We're not even finished with the 1B. We still have the rest of the essential workers in that particular category left to do,
yeah.
And those that live in congregated settings. So I'm guessing it's going to be sometime in March before we're able to expand out to those, unless we start getting more vaccine, which would really be great.
We're ready.
Or if it burns out and we don't need the vaccine.
Well, we can hope.
Well, yeah, keep hoping for that, Russ, but it's probably not going to happen.
Well, it did burn out in 2005 in the first go-around of a similar COVID, like COVID-1. But I don't think they really understand why.
Well, in the couple of minutes, though, that we have left, because I know, Michelle, you had mentioned this in the email to me, you kind of wanted to get out there. What advice do you have, Dr. Diaz or Michelle, for those that are hesitant to get the vaccine?
My advice for everyone is to really strongly consider the vaccine. After taking both shots, you have 90% immunity to the COVID-19. Now, that's even better than what we get for the flu shot. So that's really great. I've heard lots of things. You know, patients are worried about what's in it and has it been developed too quickly. And I have to tell you, the really neat thing that I appreciate about this vaccine is the creation of a new technology. I kind of tell my patients, you know, the reason that in Star Wars, you know, they were able to blow up the Death Star is because they had the plan. They knew what the Death Star looked like. And so they knew exactly where to go in and hit it and blow it up, right? So if you can take Star Wars and take it to your body, we are really showing your body what the plans are for a virus, and this is really going to change the game of vaccines. And this is going to be a good thing for us. It's really important that they get both shots. You only have about 50% immunity after the first shot. You really need to go ahead and take the second shot. You may feel sore arms, and you may feel tired after you take the second shot. That is completely normal. I can't stress that enough. People are saying, oh, I'm getting sick after the shot. You're not. You do not have a live virus in your body. You're feeling your immune system doing exactly what it's supposed to be doing, which is mounting a response, and it's also creating memory cells so that it can, in the future, fight this virus when it sees it again. You know, when you go to Walmart and you ask, you know, you're next to someone who has COVID. It's really important that everybody get the same brand. So that's a very important statement here. I don't want people getting Moderna here and then driving to Phoenix to go get the Pfizer vaccine. So it's really important that we do that. And then on the other side, make sure you talk to your primary care provider. If you have any concerns about will you react or should you get it, there's special circumstances there. For example, maybe you take an immunosuppressant, or maybe you take other medications that you're worried may cause an interaction. How many days from other vaccines did you have? That's really a conversation to have with your primary care provider.
How long will the immunity last? Do they know?
That's a really good question. Michelle and I actually were just talking about this today of, are we going to need boosters? I really don't think we know the answer to that yet. I believe the likelihood from what the studies have come out is high that we may need to do that. But again, just knowing and feeling what I feel and know now, being on the other side of being vaccinated, I can tell you that it's definitely worth it.
Why are you wearing a mask? You both have been vaccinated. You're both immune.
Well, there's that 5%, right? There's still the opportunity that we could be infected. And for Michelle's sake, I was in the COVID, floor this weekend. So it's good for me to protect her from possibly me being ill.
Perfect. I know, because that's a common question. But we are almost out of time. I just want to repeat that if you are eligible for your vaccine, you can call to pre-register 833-372-5640. That's 833-372-5640. And as Michelle recommended, go into your MyCare portal, and if you don't have one already, get an account. And you've been listening to Chamber Chatter on 560 KBLU.
The preceding show on 560 KBLU was a paid program. All opinions expressed by the program participants are solely their current opinions and do not reflect the opinions of 560 KBLU, El Dorado Broadcasters LLC, their respective parent companies or affiliates, or the companies with which the program participants are affiliated and may have been previously disseminated by them. The program participants' opinions are based upon information they consider reliable, but neither 560 KBLU, El Dorado Broadcasters LLC, nor its affiliates, nor the companies with which such participants are affiliated, warrant its completeness or accuracy, and it should not be relied upon as such.
from the 1 Hour Air Conditioning and Heating Studio, this is News Talk 560 KBLU, Yuma.